Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As I was looking at the news, and, you know, I always say this, so I might as well say it now. As I'm looking at the news, it seems like there is no way the federal government is going to surrender any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And as a matter of fact, it looks like this economic warfare, which I believe is tantamount, we need to do this, but it might be the portal for our political, the expeditious requirement of setting aside the Constitution for political expediency. And what I mean by that is, it seems like, and I'm going to have to probably do a special show regarding economic warfare and the reasons why we should never be doing business with bad states, states that do not support individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So what I'll probably do is I'll sit down and probably prepare that. This is because it seems like the Federal Reserve is piping in that they're looking at possibly reducing rates to help stimulate the economy in backing Trump's economic war. Does this also mean more quantitative easing? Does this also mean giving us more debt, allowing, who knows, maybe China to buy our debt? This is very interesting and this is very problematic because when Jefferson and Madison did years, and I'm talking about years of long-term tariffs and what did they call it back then? It was the banning on the importing of British goods into New England and so forth. And I'm trying to remember what the specific term was. But anyway, long story short, they went years in an economic war with Britain. And I want to put this into perspective. How many countries out there were really heavily engaged in trade in a global perspective? France, yeah, Spain, okay, and Britain. Holland had some. I mean, there were some countries that had some, but it wasn't like there was a real global exchange of goods back in those days. And so when we decided to go after Britain, and because they were the big player and they were the bully and they were the antagonist, and they were the burr under our saddle, when we went after them, that was a big deal. And it's the same kind of big deal that we have with China. The only thing different is that there are lots of ways that China has the ability to, I'll just say, bypass some of our tariffs by shipping those things into Mexico, which to me means that we really do need to create a greater tariff on any Mexican goods coming in, because there's good likelihood that some of that crap, and we already know a lot of that crap is coming from China, especially the drugs that are coming in. But then again, we don't put tariffs on those. We just have to stop the smuggling of those. But bottom line, it is looking very interesting. And I guess I'm just going to have to do a special show regarding this because whether we like it or not, the federal government does have constitutional responsibilities in maintaining and managing the flow of commerce. We're not I don't want to say we're not a free market. Internally, we should be a free market. Remember, the only free market left in the world is known as the black market. And what is a free market? That means that there's no government intervention at all. But we have all sorts of states and all sorts of other bureaucracies and so forth that are playing in the game of economics, where the federal government, states and so forth, cities, counties, you name it, they're all playing a little piece of action, whether it be sales tax or what have you. And that is all engaging in regulations on our market. Well, so anyway, we'll have to dive into this sometime down the future. But at this point in time, the only way we're going to get the federal government back into the framework and doing those things that they're supposed to be doing is by you and me and demanding that they start complying to the Constitution. But it's not to the federal government that we need to make these demands. It is to our state legislatures. So with that, let me also tell you that the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that actually gives you the constitutional insights necessary in getting that federal government back into scope of the Constitution. So if you have not done so and you haven't tested it and you don't have this number in your phone, you want to store this number, 605-562-4209, so that you can actually dial in and catch this show. I will tell you, and I appreciate the feedback, I got a comment yesterday that this is probably the most relevant show. Everybody needs to be listening to this show. And I feel the same way. And it's not because I'm really a great wordsmith. And it's not because I'm a really polished entertainer. It's because I am trying to cover the issues from a perspective that you really need to be seeing so that you can see the bigger picture and why it is so important that we have to get engaged. We're losing time, folks. We're losing time every minute of the day. So the number to listen to this number, this our listen line is 605-562-4209. Get that in your cell phone so that if you're traveling and you go, you know what? Hey, it's Reclaiming the Republic airtime. So let me check into that. Let me take a listen. I don't have anything else to do. And you might be very thankful that you did. So again, like I said, I'll come back to this economic warfare coming up, but that's not on my plate. I've got a lot of other things on my plate. And one of the things I do have, I have a hard scheduled interview with Dr. Vile. So we'll do a pre-recording of that. And I will put together an awesome show regarding the content that Dr. Vile and I am going to talk about regarding the Civil War. Actually, we're going to talk about his book, U.S. Flags, so that people can kind of start getting a historical perspective of the flag and our heritage. And I want to dive into a lot of specifics about the Civil War, about the U.S. corporations, about martial law, about the militia, why the militia wasn't used, and so forth. So one of the things I think is going to end up happening is some of the topics that we're going to be covering might actually become some great ideas for the good doctor to go write some books about, because there is there's not really good academic information out there regarding some of this stuff, because it's some of the best kept secrets. The U.S. corporations is being one of them. The fact that they created at that point in time the annotated Constitution, so that they started devolving and actually going away from the U.S. Constitution. And so I would love to, you know, get the doctor's, you know, personal feelings, but a lot of times they can't. I mean, they are. It's almost like an ethical code. They're not to really express their own feelings. They're really to try to give, you know, you the broader view and so forth. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to that conversation. I am also, I still haven't gotten with Aaron Tilbury. I will be in probably the next week or so. I've just been really busy in trying to take care of many other things. Let me do some quick groveling. If you drink coffee and you want to support this show and you enjoy good coffee, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and click on the link for Red State Coffee. They're selling grinds and Red State Coffee beans that will actually stimulate you, probably maybe more so than the conversation. I don't know, but I will tell you that it is a great way that you can provide some level of support. I mean, if you're buying the product already, then start buying it. And who knows, if this starts growing, then maybe the Red State Coffee can actually start, or the company that provides the Red State Coffee label will be able to, you know, do auto shipments, you know, send you a pound a week so that you don't have to constantly order. They'll just constantly bill you. And by doing so, they can just save some money and, you know, you just set up automatic delivery. Because I know most people, they drink, you know, so much coffee a week. And so it's just like, you know, I drink so much water a day. You know, we all have our own standing consumption rates. We know what they are. So get on board. And that's one of the ways you can really get behind supporting this show. There's other ways, such as our crowdfunding on GoFundMe. But more importantly, I would ask that you would send us an email and let us know where we are going. And I, when we come back from the break, I wanted to make a comment about about a couple of interesting things. One of them being a letter I got from a listener, and as I mentioned yesterday, Mr. Johnson, and some financing. So we will be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so one of the things I kind of mentioned last week, maybe it was two weeks ago, I had a listener, I believe it's a listener, because when people send me an email to info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, that is primarily, because that's our focused email domain, and especially for this show.
I mean, I have a plethora of emails, way too many emails for spam emails and so forth with all these different, you know, Hotmail type of accounts. And so I had a listener email me. And so the likelihood that they found me from any other source on reclaimingtherepublic.org, especially the way they started this letter off, it really alludes to the fact, or it points to the fact that they probably are a listener and they're in the Southern California area. And I told you, they asked me about a Christian perspective regarding loving thy neighbor and Muslims and so forth and interfaith relationships and all of that. And so I'm going to dive into this, but a part of this, this dialogue that is kind of has been initiated, I think is important, but it's also interesting. So I'm going to give you some details on this a little bit later on, not today, but maybe in an upcoming show, maybe this week, maybe in the following week and so forth. But I will tell you that as I move forward in some of the content and special shows that we're offering you, one of those special shows is some details regarding I'll call it a deity or a satanic entity known as Baphomet, I want to say, and I'm probably mispronouncing it. It's B-A-P-H-O-M-E-T, Baphomet, I believe. Anyway, it's a... I'll give you the historical references to this, where this all came from, and why this is kind of in context to this letter and this information. But I will say this, that if you try to send me an email, you don't need to use any flattery. I see right through that. And so when people try to use flattery, such as I'm famous or anything like that, I really don't care. I don't care about that kind of crap. And so it rolls right off my back. It falls flat on me. So anybody that thinks that they're trying to, you know, get me to open up, I am going to respond to you the same way I would if you didn't use flattery. And as a matter of fact, if you use flattery and come and try, think you're going to sideswipe me, you will find a great response in kind. I can just promise you that, because there's nothing better than people trying to seem self-righteous and then turning around and becoming undermining and or dubious in what they're trying to do. So let me just dive forward into some of the other things that I want to talk about. If you're doing a Constitution Day, remember, be inventive. Try to think of ways to get people to become more conscientious and more constitutionally aware. So try to come up with something for this coming Constitution Day and let us know. And as a matter of fact, I have constant interplay with at least, you know, one particular listener, Kenny B. And so, Kenny B., you're probably listening today. Why don't you go down to a Dodge dealership, just call them up and say, hey, why don't you guys do something for Constitution Day? I'll help you get the Constitution. They cost $1 that you can hand out to your customers for Constitution Week. Come on in and get a free Constitution. And while you're in, let's look at some American-made cars. That would be a great way to bring constitutional awareness to, even though it may be commercialized or what have you, it is still putting focus on Constitution Week and the Constitution. I will take any small step to no step at all. What we want to get is to where we're all marching at a full 30-inch step and we're marching forward in restoring our constitutional republic. But we have to do that by getting people aware. So if you decide to do something like this, let us know. We want to plug it. We want to help people become aware of what the heck's going on. And I've already done the fact that there is no sign that the federal government is going to disband any of its tyrannical roles. So you and I are going to have to do it. So let me tell you that we're just a couple of days away from Red Pill Expo. There's a lot of people that are going to be speaking. Now, last week, I kind of had a little light moment, and I don't mean to, but the fact of the matter is that there's all sorts of really good topics. They're all myopic. They're all detailed. These are all really good, deeply researched, factual presentations that you are going to get at Red Pill Expo. I just want you to understand in the back of your mind, as you listen to all of these things, let me know what you think are some of the most moving presentations so that we can start focusing on those types of things that are good marketing opportunities for Republic Review, because Republic Review is the only solution to every single one of these problems. Even though somebody says, oh, we just need to do this. No. Setting up, you know, getting rid of the Fed is not the end solution. That is a very small scoped solution. It doesn't get rid of the Department of Education, healthcare, and so forth, and energy, all of these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that are bankrupting us. So I'm just dying to get your feedback. And more importantly, let me plead to you to take the time this weekend to stream this Red Pill Expo. If you're not going to be there, stream it, please, so that you can at least give me some feedback, because I would actually like to go back to G. Edward Griffin and say, hey, I got some really great feedback, and here's some things, and I'd like to talk to him. After the 2020 and 2021 election, I'm hoping that I actually have more bandwidth to start getting more engaged with the Red Pill University and start actually providing curriculum for the Red Pill University and bringing people into the Red Pill University as a part of the staff that will help people understand the direction and some of the principles that we need to restore in the Republic. So let me just move on to one of the first things that I want to bring highlight to. Yesterday, I'm not sure if you knew this, but a federal judge denied the House request to prevent the President Donald Trump from tapping Defense Department money for his proposed border wall with Mexico. Now, I'm going on to say this. This is really important because the judge was basically saying, just because you don't politically like somebody doesn't mean that you can use political warfare in dragging somebody into suit. It doesn't also mean that you don't have a case regarding separations of power, but you're not bringing up that case. What you're bringing up is more of a political dislike. And so you don't have the luxury of using the court system to, you know, go after somebody that you politically disagree with. And so it was a pretty interesting ruling. And I love the fact that the judge was right. This goes to show how we are ideologically divided and how important it is to understand what the heck is going on politically and why people are standing where they are and what they are doing. Because I will tell you, if you've already heard, and you've probably already heard this several times from all the different mainstream media, at least from Fox News. I know I've heard it from Fox News, where they've used Obama, Clinton's, and so forth, all talking about how illegal immigration has been a problem. Everybody has used it as a political stick. And now that Trump is actually trying to fix the problem, he's going to take away everybody's political stick. Because that funnel that is just allowing all of these people to just come across our border illegally, invade our country and our culture, is going to go away. And so it'll take away the stick that people can use in trying to appeal to one audience at a very particular point in time, and then, you know, bypass other audiences where they're playing people to their interests. Well, if all of a sudden that doesn't become a play anymore, then okay, you can't play people on their political interests. Huh. Now they have, in other words, the things on the table that they can pick up and use, this one goes away. If that makes any sense. Well, anyway, Let me also dive forward with the thought, and I'm not sure if you know, but today is the day. There's two celebrations, or two momentous things that occurred on today in history. First off, 50 years ago, this became the Day of Pride. And I'm not sure if you understand why the homosexual movement chose the word pride, other than one of the facts is it's considered one of the most abominable sins in Christendom. You know, there's nothing better than poking, you know, the eye of our Savior, and, you know, poking the Savior, our Savior, in the eye, right? So they chose to use the word pride, and just like they also chose to use the rainbow as the symbol of their movement, wasn't that another Judeo-Christian symbol that the Lord gave us, that he's not going to destroy the earth? It is arrogant at best, but when we come back, I'll kind of close my thoughts on this and the other momentous date in history. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Well, if I remember correctly, this may be that particular day where Disney World and Disneyland kind of keep the press out and try to keep everybody off guard regarding what the heck's going on, because this used to be the day where the homosexuals would just literally go crazy. And oh, poor mom and dad who happened to bring their kids down there for vacation out of school would be shocked in seeing all sorts of, you know, just heathenistic displays. And so it's really sad that our society has gotten to a point where we actually embrace things that actually violate natural law, but that's a construct for another time. We need to probably just put this out there that just be careful where you go today, because there's probably all sorts of immoral and debased behavior that is probably going to be out in the public display that you just may not want to get exposed to. And I don't know if it's a whole week. It may be Pride Week now. But anyway, I find it ironic that, again, that they use two things in Christendom and Judeo-Christian history that really speaks against, you know, our beliefs, our core values, and so forth. One, that they use pride, and the second, that they use the rainbow. And I'm going, it kind of tells you that whoever is doing the planning, they know exactly what they're doing, because they're emboldening very evil behavior. And that's, I'll leave it at that. There's a lot of things I want to get into, but the other day, today, is also the day that the protest in Tiananmen Square ended. And so if you remember way back in 1989, I happened to be at the Fleet Intelligence Center. We were working very, very hard on what we needed to do in case there was a response. I mean, the whole world was watching, and what has happened to the world since then? And if you look at what's going on in China, I believe that the Chinese really got a very bad message from the world because of George W. Bush's failure to enact. Because what should have happened was people should have felt more emboldened to be able to protest the oppression, especially the oppressive policies of communist China, the Communist Chinese Party. And so let me give you some other things that are happening in China today, because it doesn't seem like we've had a Tiananmen Square moment in China since then. And that's what happens. It's the same thing with Iran. There was a reason why Obama did not respond to Iran, because what happens is that emboldens people to, you know, to act out more. Hey, look, America is going to get involved. We need to be the champions of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and we need to be engaged in ensuring that those things are moving forward. So, if you haven't, you've already heard, if you've been listening to this show, about the social credit system, and China's virtual prison is expanding because of this. The Chinese people, and this is from G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, the Chinese people who have low social credit scores are harassed and ostracized through warnings about them on their cell phone ringtones, which everyone can hear. They are subject to air travel bans, excluded from well-paying jobs, barred from owning a car or home, and publicly identified as a deadbeat MAP. Their social credit system is slated to go nationwide in 2020. You know this. The effect will be a culture of fear and a nation of informants, because the individuals can earn positive points by snitching. The Chinese Communist Party has given birth to the world's first high-tech digital dictatorship and is now selling its system to other like-minded socialist dictatorships. Venezuela was the first customer. And as a matter of fact, if I understand correctly, even Australia is at that table now. Now, let me give you a glimpse at the sentiment of 2024. Who cares about the old Constitution anyway? I'm here to tell you that our education system, and this will be presented at G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo, why you need to stream this. I think it's Bednard who is going to be briefing the fact that there is so little education that is being offered to students in school today regarding the Constitution, and most of it is misinformation, teaching kids about democracy and that the state is the power and so forth, not limited government, and the facts and the reality. And so what's happening is by 2024, we will have a true sentiment of kids coming out of the school that say, get rid of that old Constitution. It doesn't work. It doesn't represent our needs of government today. So let's move forward. G. Edward Griffin also points out, and this is pretty interesting, former Colorado governor who's really trying to play the middle of the stream in the 2020 presidential race. He was booed at the annual California Democratic Convention for saying that, imagine this, socialism is not the answer. They booed him. He also said, we shouldn't try to achieve universal health care coverage by removing private insurance from 150 Americans. And he was booed for that as well. Let me point this out. What they're trying to do for universal health care to cover just these few outliers, we're just talking about, what, 10, 20 million people that don't have any coverage at all. Actually, they do. Anybody can go and be treated at any hospital. It's just that they don't have a primary care provider because, you know, they just go to the hospital and get treated. So they have health care. They have the fundamental health care needed for emergencies and everything else. And they can do follow-ups and that type of thing. They just can't afford to have a primary care provider on retainer like most people that have insurance and that are on HMOs and forcing people into, you know, these Walmart type of models for healthcare. But anyway, the point of the matter is that they're going to remove half of America, 150 million people from insurances into the state government insurance. Do you understand how tyrannical that is? And we're going to let it happen? Or at least the Democrats are going to mandate that this is going to happen. Folks, you got to start waking up. The next thing he said is we shouldn't try to tackle climate change by guaranteeing every American a government job. And that's the other thing that's on the table here. The government is going to become the number one employer. It actually already is the number one employer in a roundabout way, but it will become overwhelmingly the number one player as it moves the private sector into the public sector and actually demolishes the private sector. I hope you understand what is at play in these Democratic conventions and what they're going to try to do. Folks, this is communism, and it's under this disguise of democracy. It's no longer mob rule. They are going to set up a state. This is not anarchy and mob rule. This is the truth, and the facade is democracy, but the truth is despotic, oppressive rule. And when I say rule, I mean they will rule with an iron fist. They'll show you the velvet glove and how soft it is, but just don't forget, it has an iron fist underneath that glove. And it will crush us. More lunacy from the left putting their constituents in harm's way. G. Edward Griffin points out that the Democratic City Mayor Bill de Blasio expanded the supervised release program that is set to triple the number of teens that will be released from the city jails without paying bail as they await trial. This includes teens charged with violent crimes, such as armed robbery or assault with a deadly weapon. It is certain that releasing young criminals without bail will cause an increase in crime. De Blasio's new policies went into effect the 1st of June, so let's just wait for the outcomes to manifest themselves. This goes into the same concept where California is placing illegal aliens, or any sanctuary state, like Washington just became a sanctuary state. It is placing illegal aliens over its citizens. There are progressive cities placing homeless criminal drug users over the residents who are productive and paying taxes. San Francisco is considering forced treatment of mentally ill drug addicts. I want you to understand this. All of these types of policies actually are geared to help implement communism. Woodrow Wilson was one of the first in America who created a mandate on mentally ill people and the sterilization. I believe that was in the 1900s while he was the governor of New Jersey. He paved the way for the state to start mandating sterilization, and that broke down barriers where the states were actually kept from being able to do that type of oppressive thing. And people, they justified it, and people go, oh my gosh, this just makes sense. Are you kidding me? Folks, we need to wake up. 2024 is coming quickly. Don't forget, you can start getting involved. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I want to skip forward. There's a lot of things I want to cover, but I'm just trying to show you that the states and federal government are getting out of control. There is another person that's going to be presenting at the Red Pill Expo this weekend. Her name is Deborah Stevenson. She's actually in Connecticut, and she specializes in education and parental rights. Overreaching government agencies and rogue bureaucrats want to control your children so that they can be molded into passive, obedient servants of those who hold state power. I'm telling you, I have found some amazing information. I am going to actually expose this. Let me pull this up so that I can actually get to this. I want you to know that there's this website that actually has done a pretty decent amount of research on this. And what is the name of it? It's the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health. And they actually have a table that shows you every state's policies as to how old a parent and or a child or both have some type of say over very specific things, and whether it be drug treatment, mental health treatment, and so forth. And this is where the state is beginning to step in. And as a matter of fact, I've already told you that in a few states, sexual identity is mandated in schools at fourth grade. In other words, whether you know this or not, the school systems and your state legislators have mandated, you need to check to see if it's happened in your state, but it's coming. These ideas grow legs, and it will be coming to your state. And the reason why is because this is prepubescence, right? What's fourth grade? How old are you? You're 10 years old in fourth grade, right? Going on 11. and they want kids who have a very immature view regarding sex and life to sexually identify in school at that age. There's a reason, because then they can record it and monitor them and protect them from their parents. They've already created a new wedge, age 10. If you go to this scale, you'll find that they're down at age 12 in most of the states, 13, sometimes 16 or 14, but there are plenty of states that are down into the ages of 12, and you'd be amazed what states those are. In other words, a child can be 12 or greater to start dictating what they want instead of their parents, and the parents don't get to find out. And when the parents do find out, the state tells them, you have no authority. Are you kidding me, folks? This is where we are at. And this is not good. One of the things that they're trying to do by getting these kids at age 10 in helping them embellish the wildest fantasies of sexuality, and I'm going to tie this to pedophilia as well. They want kids to feel it's okay to have sex with adults, removing shame in society and the consequences that are going to come, because that is how evil this is. I've been telling you, they tried to remove the consequences of sin, and a part of that, one of the consequences of sin, is shame. And they're trying to remove shame, because shame is in the form of bullying, my friends. Shame on you for sinning, right? But it's not the sinner, it's the sin. It's too bad that you did that. We consider that a sin. We love you, and we wish you would actually find the light so that you do not engage in those types of moral hazards. Anyway, as I've told you, pedophilia is already being promoted politically behind the scenes, and they're already creating gateways and portals in these processes of allowing kids to make the decisions. Pretty soon, it's going to be okay for kids to have sex, an 8-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid to have sex with adults, because that's what this kid wants. And heavens forbid we don't let the kids have what they want. When will someone challenge the stigma of adultery? Will this be the last barrier? And before, I know I have put out, you know, comical comment or jest regarding the leveling of mountains, that how dare Tibet and Nepal have, you know, the tallest mountains in the world. They need to be leveled to, you know, to whatever the standard mountain is. We all have to have the same level of, you know, pride in having an equally tall mountain as all the other countries. Well, who knows? In the name of equality, there is a good argument that a woman raping a man is to be legal to make the millennia of abuses, in other words, thousands of years of abuses by bad actors, just to, you know, make things fair again. So maybe, you know, just like affirmative action, they're going to just make it okay for women to forcibly rape men by gunpoint or what have you for the next 100 years, just to make it fair. That's how stupid and that's how insane they are thinking. Don't tell people these ideas, because bad ideas like these, even though I'm just being comical, they grow legs. The Eighth Amendment protects a person from cruel and unusual punishment, and it states, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And this is exactly what's happening to Paul Manafort by sending him to Rikers Island into solitary confinement. For what offense? You got to be kidding me. I am here to tell you that the average citizen already is being hit with excessive fines and unusual punishments when the same court system allows elitists to, you know, pay just pennies of their wealth, in contrast to, you know, a hardworking person that has to go broke, sell his home, mortgage his home, just to pay bail for a bad decision. The same bad decision that this other person made. It is not equitable. And I believe that we need to make our at least the fining and punishment more equitable. I truly believe that maybe 50% of a person's, you know, annual salary should maybe be the bail and or punishment for drunk driving. That would make elitists have to spend millions and millions of dollars if they get caught drunk driving. The real problem is that the elitists don't even have to go to jail. They don't even have to pay a fine because it gets brushed under because the politics that are happening in the district attorney's offices, oh, well, we can't punish our star baseball player. Gee whiz, that would be terrible. You know, shoot, the guy keeps on having these drunk driving offenses, but we can't punish him. I'm telling you, these $8 million a year salary baseball players or what have you, they need to pay their fair share. And I truly, it's the equitable process. We need to start looking at, you know, because it becomes excessive when we hit the hardworking blue-collar man or woman, the person that is just, or a kid, even a kid that makes a dumb mistake and he doesn't have a living wage. But he has a job and he's trying to actually become productive in society. He's not living on the dole. He should be protected from excessive fines of the Eighth Amendment, by this Eighth Amendment. And these kids, these other kids that are the same age that are driving a Lamborghini, but because they're a sports star, they, you know, pay the same fine. Are you kidding me? That's not equitable. We should have a blind system, and that blind system should be based on a percentage of your annual income instead of actually just having a flat fee. That way, it is far more equitable, and the people, each person on every side of this feels the pinch of the consequences of their behavior. If you're a grocery store bagger in Southern California, and you're 22 years old, and you're making $20 an hour, and you have to spend 50% of your annual income on bail and your fine for a drunk driving offense, okay. And if you are a star football player, you know, that maybe in your mid-20s or at the same age, it doesn't matter, you are going to pay 50% of your annual income. Good. Movie stars, same thing. It doesn't matter. See, that is when justice becomes blind. It doesn't consider the affluence of the individual and protect them. And that's what flat fees do. They protect the elitists. So anyway, let me kind of move on because I'm really running out of time. Now that it's June, let the burning begin. And this is why the West is so susceptible to fires, because they have one thing in common. Even though one would think that the desperate states involved might see, you know, better processes and policies and so forth and preparedness, but that's not the case. There is this one thing in common, and that one thing is the Western lands and federal controls, which are the strictest in the West. There are also a lot of open areas where maniacal testing can be done with due weapons, and there has been good substantial evidence, and this will probably be also briefed at Red Pill Expo regarding due weapons and how they've gone after people that are living in rural areas. It's all a part of the Agenda 21, that one thing that the mainstream media and even Fox News won't talk about. There is a huge effort in the West for aerosol spraying. We call those chemtrails. You need to start understanding that what's going on in the West is having a big effect, and it's all about taking control. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, but we need your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.